Welcome to Speaking Out for the Blind here on ACB Radio Mainstream, where your listening is our business. I'm Brian McKellen. This show airs every Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. Now on to the show. We're here with Leif Starling. She is the program coordinator of North Carolina, or NC State's, Engineering Place, and she's going to talk to us about a very special summer camp being offered. It's called the 2015 Summer Engineering Experience for Students with Visual Impairments or Blindness. Students are not going to only learn about the several fields of engineering, they're going to also learn about the grand challenges of engineering. And to talk more about the camp, Leif joins us. Hi, Leif.
Hi, thank you for having me on.
Let's first learn about you. How did you become program coordinator for the Engineering Place?
Well, to give you the short story of it, I actually was a mechanical engineer from the University of Virginia, and went straight into teaching middle school math and science from an engineering perspective. I spent about 4 years doing that in private schools and realized that my passion was working with students with all abilities, but especially those that were more challenged in the classroom. So I went back and got my master's in special education and looked at basically the efficacy of using engineering teaching kits or engineering activities in math and science classes to teach math and science concepts to reach all students. So we could capitalize on their strengths. After several more years of teaching and lots of curriculum development, I found this great opportunity at the Engineering Place at NC State, where we are pretty much the K-12 outreach arm for the College of Engineering at NC State. And this position allows me to get out of the classroom and reach a lot more students and a lot more families in general.
How does the Engineering Place reach out to K-12 students through the hands-on tools, the informational workshops, and programs to get them excited about engineering?
So we have several programs that are established. Our family STEM nights, we go into local schools about once a week, and we have 15 to 20 undergraduate engineering students take activities, hands-on activities, and set them up, and families can come and interact with undergraduate students and learn a little bit about different fields of engineering and the grand challenges of engineering. We do programs with local museums, like the Marbles Museum, where we go once a month and take an engineering activity there and set it up, and people come and, again, interact with our undergrads and our staff and hopefully have fun doing these engineering challenges. We also do some curriculum development and professional development with teachers all across the state. We have been having summer camps for elementary school, middle school, and high school, both in Raleigh and at satellite sites across the state as well, where it's all focused around an introduction to what is engineering, what are the fields of engineering, what are the grand challenges, and why is engineering a really fun and exciting field to get into, and how can you help people with engineering? How can you help society through engineering?
Right, this is awesome stuff, and we need to get some of those special education students into these engineering careers. But they got to first learn about the grand challenges of engineering. What are those grand challenges?
Absolutely. Well, as defined by the National Academy of Engineers, the grand challenges fall into, I believe there are 14 of them. They fall into, 14 or 18, they fall into four main categories: health, sustainability, security, and joy of living. So I encourage listeners to actually go check out the Grand Challenges of Engineering website. If you just Google that, it'll pop up. And it describes more about what society faces today, the grand challenges that are going to keep us thriving and make us successful, and things that engineers, and I would say not just engineers, but everyone needs to be aware of.
If it's all right with you, I'd like to ask you about one of those grand challenges, securing cyberspace. What is this challenge exactly?
So this could be anything from passwords that protect your Hotmail account or Gmail account to protecting your online banking, to protecting data that's been collected for a scientific experiment, to protecting confidential medical information for patients in a hospital. Anything that cyberspace is such a huge, almost, I think of Buzz Lightyear where he says infinity and beyond.
Yep.
I think that's kind of what cyberspace is. It can go to infinity and beyond. So protecting that and protecting the information that you want to be aware of being kept secure, I guess.
How did NC State decide to launch the summer engineering experience for blind and visually impaired students?
Well, actually, it was an interesting collaboration and perchance meeting that I think turned into a wonderful opportunity. I was fortunate enough to meet with Ed Summers, who is a software engineer and accessibility specialist at SAS. I worked with him on the STEM career showcase for students with disabilities this past fall. And I had kind of approached him with this idea after that experience that I wanted to expand on what they did with the STEM showcase for students with disabilities and offer a more comprehensive camp for students with disabilities. And after hashing through some ideas, he and I decided that the best place to start for this pilot year was kind of to start small, do a one-week camp, open it up to 15 students, focus on a specific disability so we could be more accommodating in that realm. And we chose the visually impaired and blind population just because we both are very familiar with materials and navigating that world. So I got to credit Ed Summers a lot to this.
You keep mentioning STEM. STEM, STEM. What is STEM? What does it stand for?
Well, it stands for science, technology, engineering, and math. And when I say STEM, I'd say it as STEM and not science, technology, engineering, and math, because I like to see it as more integrated than anything else, where they all fields inform each other, all fields support each other, and all fields are essential into delving into the specific areas further. You can't have science without engineering. You can't have engineering without science. Same thing with math and same thing with technology. So I see STEM as a very integrated field of science, technology, engineering, and math.
I agree. The students are going to further explore many fields of science: civil engineering, aerospace, electrical, and biomedical. They're going to also learn some computer science. How are the students going to learn all of these areas of scientific study with the grand challenges together during this special camp?
Excellent question. It does sound like a daunting task in a way, but it's actually a really fun compilation of pulling from the strengths and experience of faculty and researchers here at NC State, taking a look at what they're doing in their labs, pulling out the key science concepts and math concepts that support the research they're doing. Almost all of the research that they're doing is tied into a grand challenge of engineering in some way or other, so that's an easy connection to make. And then designing activities around this that students at the high school level can contribute and do, activities that require them to apply what they have learned along with their creativity to produce real solutions that solve the given problem. For example, one of the activities we have designed is addressing the grand challenge of providing access to clean water. And we'll do some water quality testing, talk with some environmental engineers here about the water quality testing they're doing in North Carolina and the challenges that local water resources face right now, pollution and runoff and just what makes our water dirty, essentially. And then the engineering challenge will then be to take the nasty water samples we've collected and design a water filter to make them to clean the water. Again, tying back into the grand challenge of providing access to clean water. How can we as engineers control the environment in such that we can take this nasty water and make it clean? And what are the design parameters and success criteria for us to claim that it is clean at the end of the process? So students will really have to go through the entire engineering design process to complete this, while also seeing how scientific skills and scientific method informs their design, along with data collection. With, you know, you got to incorporate some math in there, back up what you've done with some good numbers.
How do you teach the students to follow the scientific method and do all that data collection with their visual impairments or blindness?
Well, hopefully the population that we're bringing in are rising 10th through 12th graders. So we are expecting that they have had some instruction in science in how to do the scientific method, what the scientific method is. Where the new concepts they'll be learning are more the application of that and how to use some of the tools and accessibility tools that we'll be using to collect the data, to generate the data, to analyze the data. Again, that's where Ed Summers comes in, helping with some of those tools, and also some other accessibility specialists that we're working with that have gone through biology labs in college with visual impairments.
You were mentioning providing clean water is one of the grand challenges of engineering, and how about testing North Carolina's water and getting all the stinky things out of that water. Could one of the other water problems for this be focused on drought? Because I know here in California, we have a major drought problem right now, where we're not getting enough rain, and all the reservoirs and lakes in the state, the water levels are getting less and less and less by the week, the day, even the month.
Absolutely. And I think the biggest engineering challenge with that is not just how do you deal with a drought, but how do you direct where there is water, where there's an abundance of water, such as, I mean, you guys are on the coast, you've got the Pacific Ocean right there. Is that even a viable source to get water to solve this drought problem? Or is there a different part of California that is getting too much water, or that we could channel the water into the areas that need it more? And what compromises need to be made in order for that to happen? So that definitely is an engineering challenge with providing access to clean water. That's not just unique to California, I would say, but there are a lot of geographic locations around the world that face that. So it's not just cleaning the water, but it's channeling and controlling where the water goes and pumping the water, for lack of a better term right now.
The summer engineering experience, it's essentially a summer camp. Does the experience offer students the average leisure camp activities such as swimming and campfires?
Not swimming and not campfires. But I will say the way that it's designed is we will have a chunk of the day that is more of a curricular portion, where I don't want to call it school because it's not school. It's summer camp, but the kids should be engaged. They should be excited. They should be having fun. Now, yes, they should be doing all of that at school also. Absolutely. But hopefully they feel more freedom in exploring areas that they wouldn't get exposed to in school necessarily. During a bigger chunk of the day. In the evening, we are going to have more camp, traditional camp-like programs, where we'll have a gaming night. We'll have an ice cream social. And tied into that, we are going to keep kind of reinforcing the transition component with, for example, the ice cream social. We'll have, I'm inviting several undergraduate students with disabilities to come and just mingle and talk about their experiences of what's it like to get into college, what's it like to be in college, how can you, what's it like to think about a career after college, what are some, you know, tricks of the trade do you need to know going into it, where do you do your laundry, you know, how often do you actually have to call home, things like that, things that only college students know now, to be able to talk about that experience.
But the students are going to get that realistic preview of college. Does this, what other sort of previews of college are the students going to get?
So a huge, the reason why I'm calling, why we're calling this an experience more than just a camp, is we do want them to experience college life from the standpoint of, well, first of all, number one, to make the transition to college more realistic. More something that they understand that they can do. And in order to do that, they have to be in a safe environment where they can do it and their grades aren't necessarily on the line. So we will be having them, you know, navigate the bus routes. How do you how do you get on the bus? How do you get off the bus in a college campus? How do you navigate living in a dorm? How do you navigate living with a roommate? How, you know, exposing them to what's the dining hall like? How do you choose to eat pizza every single night because you love pizza? Or are there other options being in college that you don't have to eat pizza every night, that you can also have the salad bar, for example? Anything that living away from home, living outside their comfort zone, so that they can really get a feel for what college life is like. And that involves interacting with current college students just to get an understanding of their experiences of, you know, is it better to take a small class or a big class? Is it better, you know, who do you ask for help when you need to know where X, Y, or Z is? Or when you're thinking about the disability service office, what can they actually help you with? What should you expect help with? Things like that. So everything you need to know to survive outside of the classroom in college is a big piece of this experience as well. And I guarantee you we won't touch on everything you need to know, but hopefully we'll touch on a lot of it to give them the confidence.
And for the disabled student services, they got to learn how to use those services and how to use them independently, because you're going to have to turn in a lot of paperwork about your vision, and you're going to have to meet with these counselors. I'm just talking from experience, and my own experience, and you're going to have to meet with the people there to get your accommodation squared away for every test, to make sure you get your readers, to make sure that you get your note takers. It's a lot of work, but if you can do all that work and do it on time, it's going to pay off in the long run.
Exactly. And I think that for rising 10th, 11th, and 12th graders, it's such a critical time for a student, whether they have a disability or not, to learn how to self-advocate, to be able to communicate what they need in order to succeed within reason, to be able to say, I can't take notes this way. I need to be able to record the lectures, for example, in a positive way to a professor or to their friends or to the disability service offices. The more they can practice, the more any student can practice that in high school, the more successful they will be in college. So I completely agree, navigating that, the DSO in terms of becoming a better self-advocate is key.
So back to the science-y stuff now.
Yes.
The students are going to finish the camp with this group design capstone project. What does that group design project entail?
So ultimately, the students will have to, they will have been exposed to several different types of engineering challenges, several different fields of engineering. And what they'll do is get within their design group and decide on a new engineering problem that stems off from or builds off of one of the areas they've already studied, or one of the designs they've already tried to, or problems they've already tried to tackle, where they have to further define the problem, go through the engineering design process where they define it, they brainstorm ideas, they research existing solutions, they choose an idea and prepare a prototype. They come up with a cost analysis to figure out how much a design would cost, kind of like that show Shark Tank, where they have to pitch their idea to get funded, so that, you know, hopefully they'll also be able to build a prototype and test a prototype and gather some preliminary data. All things that engineers have to do in order to get their design funded. So it will be a student-driven project in that sense.
So we discussed a little bit who's eligible to attend the summer engineering experience, 10th through 12th graders. What's the other special admissions criteria?
So 10th through 12th graders who are functioning at or above grade level, who have a possible interest in a STEM field, or have some experience or some desire to go into engineering. I keep saying engineering because it is more of a engineering. We're going to be talking about all the areas of STEM, and are independently mobile. Now, on the first day when campers arrive, we are going to do an extensive orientation session, and we will have O&M specialist there to help all of the camp participants navigate the campus initially. So they're not going to be just thrown into this unknown world, unknown place completely. We will help. I mean, clearly, we're going to be helping them out as much as possible. But we also want them to feel independent by the end of the week with navigating the campus. So,
what's the cost for attending the camp?
$100.
$100.
That includes room and board and materials and everything. It doesn't cover travel, unfortunately. We don't have the funds right now to cover travel since this is the pilot year. But we are able to do it for $100, and we are trying to get donations or opportunities for financial aid options for that as well.
So we can give a heads up. What's the nearest airport from NC State University, Raleigh, where the camp's held, and how can our listeners get there?
Great question. The nearest airport is Raleigh-Durham International. It's RDU. And we will provide transportation from the airport to campus and then back to the airport if needed. So we can do that. We can pick you guys up at the airport and take you back to the airport. We just can't pay for the plane ticket or the bus.
What are the registration deadlines?
Right now, the registration deadline is April 1st. We currently have several applicants in, or several people have applied, but we're always encouraging more applicants. Please apply. It is an application process, so we'll let you know shortly after April 1st.
How might our listeners register for the summer engineering experience?
Great question. So the Engineering Place website, and it's actually a rather long address. So if you just Google the Engineering Place at NCSU or at NC State, we'll take you to our website. And there is a tab called Programs. And under the Programs is a tab called Summer Programs. And highlighted right there, it says new summer engineering experience for students with visual impairments or blindness. And if you click on that, it gives information about the dates, more information about the topics we're going to cover, eligibility, a link to our online application. And I'm seeing now it says March 27th is when the application closes, but I'll say April 1st is when it really closes.
How can our listeners get in touch with you if they got any questions?
The same website has my email address on it. And that is the best way, is to go to my email, which is astarli2@ncsu.edu.
Great.
But go through the website because it's easier to click on it than remember what I just said.
We will. And is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I'm very excited about this experience. I think we have an excellent group of professionals that are going to be contributing to this program. It'll be an exciting experience. And for any parents that are listening right now, I want them to know that I understand how exciting and scary it is at the same time to send your student into, or your child into, a new idea into a new area into an uncharted territory. But I can assure you that with collaboration between all of this, we'll make this an outstanding experience for the student, for your child. So,
and we hope that our young listeners, the students and parents, are going to sign up for this exciting and engaging hands-on experience that's going to introduce the students to not only the opportunities in engineering and computer science, but that's going to give them a good, important taste and experience, first-hand experience of campus life. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Before we go, I welcome comments and suggestions on today's show and past episodes and even future shows. Just visit and like me on Facebook at Speaking Out for the Blind, or follow me on Twitter at Speak Out Blind or Speak Out for the Blind. That's all for this edition of Speaking Out for the Blind. Thanks for listening, and remember to speak out.
Join me, Brian McKellen, on Speaking Out for the Blind. I interview famous and inspirational blind individuals and other specialists about a wide variety of topics, providing you with the steps to achieve your dreams. Speaking Out for the Blind airs Wednesdays at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Pacific, and repeats every 2 hours overnight and throughout the next day, right here on ACB Radio Mainstream.